This afternoon, I want to talk to you a little bit about opportunities that we have as Christians. It was something that was on my mind a while back, I'm sure. By now you've heard Zane's lesson over vision. And in that lesson, he told us a story about him and some other people going to a basketball game in Kansas. And we got there and we waited in line for a couple hours before we got in and we got to visiting with some people. Zane and Sean did most of the talking. I'm not quite as outgoing as they are. But Zane said that, in his mind, he thought about telling those people about the gospel, telling them about Christ. And what's even worse is that thought never even crossed my mind, waiting for that game. And so that just got me thinking about all the opportunities that we have as Christians to serve God and to serve others each and every day. And so this afternoon, we're going to look at different opportunities we have as Christians throughout our day-to-day lives and what we should do and why we need to do those things. One thing that we have an opportunity to do every day is to serve. Service is something that's very important in our Christian lives. We sing songs about being made servants like Christ. And so it's important. Jesus expects us to be a people of service and to do good works. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Who is Christ? Christ gave himself so that we could be purified, so that we could be these different people, so that we could be zealous of good works. Zealous means to have great energy or enthusiasm about an object or a subject. We are expected from God in Christ to be a people who's excited to serve, who's excited to serve others. And so, we ought to show that energy when serving. We ought to take advantage of opportunities we have to serve. And Christ died so that we could become that type of person. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, tells us, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We're also expected as Christians to expect each other to serve and to get people to serve. That's what provoke means, to stimulate others to do good works. And so we need to be examples. We need to show others how to serve and what all we can do in serving others. We read about doing good works and serving others, so why is it such a need in the kingdom of heaven? Why is it such a need in our church today? In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We ought to let our light shine before others. We need to show our good works. We need to show people what God is all about, the love of God and the mercy. And through our good works, we can show some of that love and some of that mercy. And so it might cause someone to think, what's so different about these people? What are they doing that makes them so happy? Why are they out here serving others when they could be serving themselves? It can get people to think maybe they need to be Christians. And so we need to show good works. We need to serve others so that other people can glorify God from seeing our works. Also, we need to serve others because Christ also was a servant himself. In Luke chapter 22, verses 25 through 27, "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." So here Christ is telling the disciples about having rule. And he's telling them about kings and how they exercise lordship and how they are rulers over certain people. But Christ asks them the question, who is greater? Is he the one that's sitting and eating or the one that's serving? And we know that Christ had the ultimate authority. He had the authority of God. He had the authority to forgive sins, to heal people, to bring people back from the dead. And Christ told his disciples that he is the one that serves. The greatest is the one that serves. So we should be more Christ-like and take advantage of the opportunities that we have to serve, because those chances arrive every day. Sometimes we don't even notice that when we have opportunities to serve. But we ought to have the right mindset and the right humility to serve. And so we need to be that person who is zealous for good works. Jesus died so that we could become that type of person. And so opportunities to serve arise every day. And what do we do with those opportunities? Another opportunity that we have from day to day is the opportunity to flee sin. We are faced with a difficult task every day to fight a spiritual battle against Satan. Every day Satan tempts us with various temptations, and he wants us to sin. He wants us to break the commandments and the law of God. And what we do, how we react to those temptations, is very important in our Christian lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." I want to put a lot of focus on that first word, flee. Get away. Sometimes the best thing to do in a situation where there is sin, where there is temptation, is to simply leave. Leave the situation. We see examples like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife was trying to tempt him, trying to get him to commit fornication. Joseph ended up just leaving the site. He ran away so that he wouldn't do that. Sometimes, you know, no matter what the situation we are in, the best thing to do is to run, is to leave. And the reason we have an opportunity to flee is because God gives us a way of escape. We can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Paul writes, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We read that God gives us a chance to get out of sin. God gives us the ability to flee. God isn't unfair to us. He's just. He doesn't put sin on us that we can't bear. There's always a way of escape for us. But the hard part sometimes is for us to take action and to actually follow that way of escape. We have opportunities every day to flee sin. And what do we do with these opportunities? Do we fall for the temptation, or do we take the way out? Do we take God's way out? One reason it's very important for us to take advantage of these opportunities, we can read about in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden foot underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." If we continue in our sinful ways after hearing the truth, the Bible says there is no longer a sacrifice for sins. We hear the truth. Just because we hear the truth and we act on that truth does not mean that, you know, we're safe forever. There's still a chance for us to fall. It says that we'll be punished worse than those who died under Moses' law. That's why we need to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to flee from sin, to find that way of escape, so that we don't have to look towards fiery indignation and punishment. So let's not put off our sin problems. Let's not wait till next year to quit sin. Let's get rid of it now. We need to make changes in our life that are necessary so that we can succeed as Christians. Another opportunity that we have from day to day is the opportunity to preach the gospel. And as we discuss preaching the gospel, I want you to think about people in your life who are important to you. It might be family or friends. But have you shared your thoughts about the gospel with them? Have you kept your thoughts to yourself? These are questions that are difficult for us to be honest with. And it's easy to shy away from situations to tell people about Christ, but preaching the gospel isn't something that we have a say in. It's something we must do as Christians. And the reason for that is because Jesus commands us to preach His word. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Preach the gospel to every creature. Christ commands His apostles and us to share His word. You might have heard the saying, "Go ye" means go me. We need to be active in the church. We need to be active in the word of God and study it so that we know what to say to people when they have questions or when we want to tell them about Christ. It's not just important to preach the gospel because God expects us and commands us to, but because that might be the only way people hear the truth. You might be someone's only chance for salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Paul is asking questions concerning how people can believe. How can someone be baptized into the blood of Christ if they don't even believe in Jesus? How can someone believe in Jesus if they have never even heard about Him? These are very simple questions, but they have very correct answers. We can't expect people to randomly turn away from their sins and just decide to be baptized out of the blue someday. There has to be a lot of work and there's a lot of effort put into getting people to come to Christ. And we have to work and we have to preach and we have to tell people about Jesus so that they can hear the word of God and so that they can believe and that they can be baptized and have the same hope that we do as Christians. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and also James chapter 4 and verse 17. Romans 1 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In James chapter 4 and 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Are we ashamed of the gospel? What do our actions say? Paul said that he wasn't ashamed, but he also backed it up with the life that he lived. And we see Paul completely turning his life around for the church and to preach the gospel. And he put his life in danger many times. Where finally he died preaching. He died teaching others about Jesus. And also the verse in James talking about, you know, to us who knows to do good and we don't do it, you know, it's sin to us. And so, you know, we have the guilt, that guilt of sin when we don't tell others about Jesus. You know, we need to be a people of action and we need to get out there and preach to others so that they can hear, so that they can believe, so that they can have the same hope we do. Also, from day to day, we have an opportunity for a second chance. We have an opportunity, I guess, to redeem ourselves. Not that our actions can cleanse us or make us whole by themselves. But these are some names that you might recognize throughout the Bible. And these people we see as great people of faith. But also they messed up in their lives. We know that you can read in Genesis, shortly after the flood, Noah got drunk. And because of his actions, there were generations of people that were slaves. Because of that action, we read about David seeing Bathsheba and committing adultery and murdering her husband. We know that Paul persecuted the first century church. We know that Peter denied Christ three times. And we know that Judas betrayed Christ. These people we see of great faith messed up in their lives, but they had an opportunity to make a change. And all except one of these people made a positive change. We know that Noah and David lived great lives. David was a man after God's own heart. We know that Peter preached the first gospel sermon Many people were baptized after Peter preached that sermon. Instead of persecuting the first century church and trying to destroy it, Paul helped it grow even more abundantly. But Judas decided to take the quick way out. He decided to make a bad decision. So we need to react like these other people, like David, Paul, Peter, and Noah. We need to react positively. And we need to make the changes that are necessary in our lives, positive changes. You know, if you might miss an opportunity to preach to someone one week, but the next week, you need to try to go preach. Try to tell somebody. Don't let some downfalls in your life, you know, get you down so much where you can't react positively. The reason why it's important for us to take advantage of these opportunities to serve others and to preach and to flee from sin is because there will eventually be a time where there is no more time. Recently in Amarillo, we had a college study, and I don't know what to call a study. I guess I call it the funeral study, because beforehand, we all filled out this piece of paper with all these questions, and it's basically an obituary for us. And so we filled out all these things, and then Craig Keel brought in this white sheet, and then we'd lay underneath it, and we'd pretend that we were dead. And so someone else would read our obituary and read about, you know, things we enjoyed to do, fondest memories we had. But then after it was done, we got to get out from under the sheet, and we were, you know, we weren't really dead. We were alive. But that study really got me to thinking about death and changes I need to make. But there'll be a day where it's not pretend anymore. People will really die, and someday we will face death. And there won't be any more time to change. James chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Time is too short for us not to preach the gospel. Time is too short for us to not serve others. Time is too short to keep sinning willfully. We make it a habit so much. We make sin a habit. We make being lazy as Christians a habit. And then it's hard to get out of. But life is too short for us to continue to be lazy as Christians. We need to break from those bad habits, and we need to make the changes. Because we don't know if tomorrow will even come. Revelation chapter 20 verses 12 through 15. Revelation chapter 20 verses 12 through 15 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is a prophecy from John about the day of judgment. And there will be a time when we have to give an answer for the things that we have done. And if our name is not found in the book of life, then we will be cast into eternal death. That's why it's important that we make these changes. Not just because life is too short, but because if we don't do the things we ought to do, then we'll face the second death. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This is continuing our earlier reading from Hebrews 10. It's a short but a very powerful statement that couldn't be more accurate. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, especially if we haven't done what we need to do, especially if we haven't made those changes, if we keep living life as we are. That's why we need to take opportunities to serve. We need to serve others. We need to flee sin. We need to preach the word. And there are many other things that we need to take advantage of. You know, we have an opportunity as Christians to worship every Sunday. We have an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. we have all these great chances and we can't mess around and just go through the motion in life. And we do get second chances, but those second chances are very limited. There will be a day when those second chances run out. I want to conclude with John chapter 4 and verse 35. I think it wraps things up pretty nicely for our study. John chapter 4 and verse 35, Christ says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." We ought to have this sight in our minds at all times. No, there's no being a break. There's no break from being a Christian. We're always on duty. We're always working in the kingdom of the Lord. And we need to have that attitude each and every day. There's always an opportunity to serve. There's always opportunities to preach. And there's always opportunities to flee from sin and obey God. So have you made your opportunities count up to this point? We need to make them count before there are no more chances for us to make changes. And this is a quote from Dave Ramsey at the bottom: "Live like no one else, so later you can live like no one else." And I know Dave Ramsey's certainly not Jesus, certainly not an inspired writer of God, but I think that this is a very spiritual concept that we can look at. We need to live like no one else. We need to serve like no one else does. We need to preach like no one else does. We need to flee sin like no one else does, so that later we can live in heaven with God. We can live like no one else.